Inter Miami are possibly about to be eliminated from the playoffs again. What is going on? Maybe you shouldn't have a bunch of 55-year-old players on your team. We talk about that in the first segment.
And in the second time, we go around the league and talk about NWSL Decision Day. We look forward to the playoffs. A lot more drama, a lot of responses from the Angel City players about the Elizabeth Eddie op-ed. We talk all about it, and we wrap up with some Rapido reactions. All this and more today on The Cooligans.
So I did a show this weekend right after the New York City FC game. Had to drive to Jersey City. And, you know, when you say there's a comedy show in Jersey City, you've performed in Jersey City before.
Yeah.
Usually it's downtown, right? Usually. Downtown Jersey City, right?
I thought all of Jersey City is downtown.
No.
It's just one big downtown.
There's a pretty big area at the top of the hill, right? You got to go to the top of the cliff for the rest of it. Downtown is below the cliff.
Got it.
So I looked at the address. I just assumed this is a street I don't know in downtown. Turns out, the show was in the trap. The show was deep in the trap. Mm. At least what used to be the trap. You know, a lot of people have been displaced out of New York City, and a lot of them have gone to Jersey City. So I show up to the venue, and what I see is an auto shop. Looks like an auto detailing shop. It doesn't look like a mechanic, but it has those octagon LED lights, the stop sign looking LED lights, the web of them. So it looks like a YouTube space, like a car YouTube channel looking space studio. And there's just like two Audis getting washed. And I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, and there's an older dude outside. He's like, "Hey, yo, you here for the show?"
And that dude was, that dude was Exhibit.
Yeah.
You are on an episode of Pimp My Ride.
He pulled my collar, and now I drive a car with a fish tank in it. Why'd you do that? No, this dude goes, "You here for the show?" And I was like, "I'm not sure, man."
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. The answer might be no. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Let me see a ticket." I was like, "I'm one of the comedians." He's like, "Oh, come on." And he opens the side door, like the door that like you would go into if you're like going to the office. Turns out there were stairs. Go upstairs. Beautiful loft. I go upstairs. It's a British guy who owns it, who's a Caribbean British guy. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's got like a vintage shop inside. It's like this beautiful loft. It looks like an OnlyFans studio. It looks like porn in the 90s was directed here.
Love it.
Luxurious porn, though. Not like bad porn. Nothing with the word verses in the title. You know what I mean?
Or
like,
this is or destroys.
Yeah. None of that. This was like nice, love making. A lot of box eating videos. But it was beautiful. It was like a loft. It was like there was a chef cooking up food. It was like one of the wildest experiences. I did not think that's what would be in there. Also, hanging over your head as you performed was pretty much every AFC Wimbledon shirt from back in the day ever. I was like, what is going on here? It turns out the dude's a big Wimbledon fan. Wimbledon and United, which I don't know how that's an overlap, but it was weird. Got talking to him. His mom's boyfriend was there, older white dude, who's a British dude who worked for BMW for like 50 years. We ended up talking cars. I did not believe any of this would be happening in your city. The reason I bring the show up is the comic before me. Bit of a they would call it urban show, right? But hood room is
right,
we would call it, right? Mm-hmm. In our business. Bit of a hood room. Not exactly. It was more like a artsy vibe, but the comics was, no comic used a government name.
Got it.
Right? Like the female comic that went up before me, the first name is Ms. And then, you know what I mean?
I'm familiar.
One of the other comics was Blank the Kid. D-A-K-I-D. K-I-D. So it's like, you know, it's like, this kind of throws back to like when we start our careers or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she did a joke about how she only likes dudes from the hood, the comic, but she's single. She's been single for a while. So she got a dildo and she named it Jerome. And the whole bit was about Jerome, right? There was like this was her closing bit. It did really well. And I told her, I was like, after the show, I was like, "Hey, you want me to, is that true or is that just a joke?" And she goes, "No, I really got a dildo named Jerome." I go, "You want me to ruin that for the rest of your life?" And she's like, "Excuse me?" Which I guess, it sounds like I'm going to sit on the fucking thing. That's not what I meant. I go, "You ever heard of Jerry Seinfeld?" She goes, "Yeah, of course." I go, "You know what Jerry's short for?" And she's like, "No." And I go, "Yep." And she's like, "Shut the fuck up." And I go, "Uh-huh." I go, "So every time you look at dildo, you go think of Jerome Seinfeld."
Hell yeah.
And she was like, "Ugh." And she just let out a big ugh. And I was like, "There you go. Ruined it for you. Now you need to get another one."
Damn. Jerome's going to start looking for a dildo in high school.
a 17-year-old girl. Uh-oh. Google Seinfeld or someone who's already on their honeymoon.
Google Seinfeld High School. You'll find some really great things. Anyway. Yeah.
Remember when Brendan Sagalow almost got in trouble for that?
For Googling?
Well, someone asked him on a podcast about it. And he goes, what, did he bang 17-year-old girls?
Yeah, yeah.
And got a little bit of... People reached out to him.
Look, I'm just saying, Jerome got shooters, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Jerome keeps the strap.
More ways than one.
Jerry doesn't have shooters, but Jerome?
Jerry doesn't get involved.
Want to hear something else? Oh, my God. Tie this all up. Brandon Sekulow's dad's name.
Is it Jerry?
Tyrone. He's an Irish guy named Tyrone.
Similar.
What is happening? Oh, my God. The universe, bro.
Stephen Colbert's middle name? Tyrone.
DeBrickashaw.
DeBrickashaw Colbert.
Stephen DeBrickashaw Colbert.
You know, Missouri State. Anyway, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
It is election week.
Let's go.
I'm rocking my Zoran FC.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a shirt for a mayoral candidate that I can't vote for. Hold on.
Yes, the Sliwa United.
Yo, no, you ain't even in the city no more.
I know, but bro, I got a business here. I got an LLC in New York. I got vested
interest.
Hold on,
that's the party's race.
All good,
oh,
bro.
Oh, damn, man.
Take my money.
Yo, remember he said his. When we go 50-50, I said this on stage the other day. I said, bro, I'm always going to be super progressive. I'm always going to look out for my people. But the more money that I make, the more I think some of y'all can pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Not all of y'all, but some. I mean, there's like a small handful I see with my own eyes.
Now, you know, do the right thing. You know, if you're in New York City or you're in any other. Minnesota has also a big mayoral candidate.
New Jersey has a massive gubernatorial one.
Yeah, gubernatorial.
Gubernatorial?
That's gubernatorial.
Yeah, one of them is a goober. I'll tell you that. And then there's a shorty who was a pilot.
The shorty.
Navy pilot or something, right?
Yeah. She's getting.
My Navy got pilot. Isn't that Air Force? How you also get planes in the Navy? You a boat, dog. And if there's planes that land on the boat, shouldn't that just be the Air Force landing on the Navy boat? Why we got two separate pilots?
See, this is why we got to get rid of P. Hexeth and get Alexis Guerrero to be the Minister,
the gubernatorial candidate of the head of war.
The governor of war.
Yeah.
Alexis Guerrero.
The governor of war.
Guerreros is in his name.
It means warrior, dog.
What are we doing
Yo,
here?
Yo, you wild, dog. Just stupid. Just make me that guy, dog.
Anyway.
You think I won't take my shirt off in a koozie?
I mean, look, there aren't many, you know, politicians that know ball. It's Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey and Zoran Mamdani. So, do the right
thing.
Damn,
I couldn't remember the turtle dude's name, man. I was going to say he does too.
The turtle dude?
Who's the dude that looks like a turtle that fell the other day? Who's the dude that fell? The old dude. They were like, hey, what's going on in his room? He was like...
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. I was going to say, he played in the 1930 World Cup. I was going to say that. I couldn't remember his name, though.
You know what? He does no ball. He's diving.
Yeah,
Soft
him ball. And Neymar. Him and Neymar, dog. He rolling.
Anyway.
Trustful.
We got a lot to go over today. Obviously, MLS playoffs are in the second matches of the first round. We have Decision Day to talk about and look forward to the playoffs. We got a hot week, especially when it comes to NWSL. So obviously lock in this week. And then we're going to wrap
up. Look at my hat.
We're going to wrap up the show with some rapido reactions. So today, let's start with Inter Miami. They're having, they have the greatest player of all time on their roster. And now they got to win game 3 or their season is over, which is why it is today's top topic. So Inter Miami.
This is the top topic.
They lose to Nashville in the second game. Already a rough start. They give up an early penalty. And even looking bigger picture, I said this before when Gio Savarese was here, when Kevin Egan was here, and saying I'm worried about Miami defensively, especially when a team in the playoff plays them well defensively. they have a really tough time. They can't simply outscore them. Inter Miami, they have given up 55 goals in the regular season. Woo! That's the only, they're second to the Chicago Fire, who obviously just got eliminated. But what do we, what is this really going to be their downfall again? Are they going to repeat the what happened to Atlanta? Atlanta was incredibly shocking.
Nobody even thought they'd be able to get in the playoffs, and they beat them and in they three beat games. Them.
So, but in this scenario, Nashville is obviously a much better team than Atlanta was last year. But can this happen again? And what would it mean if they do get knocked out by Nashville?
I think it can happen again, and I'm a little worried. I think Nashville gave it all they had. They won 2-1, which is impressive. I don't know if they can do it again, but if they do, if they manage to do it, we didn't think Atlanta could do it. If they manage to do it, the question becomes, is it that Inter Miami's back line is that bad, or is it that you just can't have this many old dudes on a team that can't track back?
Yeah,
I think is it possible that the stars that Inter Miami brought in are so good, but they're just so old that they can't defend? And that soccer is a team sport, man. It's not like baseball. It's not like basketball where you can hide a player that is, you know, defensively a liability. You can't do it with this many.
Well, so I think it's, I think that is a factor, because obviously what, you know, Busquets and Alba announcing that they were retiring, to me, I'm like, please, Suarez, announce that you're retiring. Yeah. Like, there's a part of me that's just like, if you want the team to be better defensively, you can understand Messi is worth the risk of him not tracking back. You understand that. And he does that with pretty much every team he's ever played on in the last, you know, 7-8 years. But Suarez, having two players that are not going to track back and not really do much defensively, is obviously put so much pressure on everybody else, where they all have to basically mark two positions, or like play zone for like two positions, right, or prioritize scoring more goals, which Inter Miami led the league in goals. They had 81 goals in the regular season, so which was I think 15 or 20 more than the second closest. So that clearly for Mascherano, it's like, let's just outscore them, and we're going to give up a couple goals here and there, and he's willing to take that risk. But in the playoffs, in these elimination games, it's, you're going to get caught up to, right? So I would say that is clearly a factor. The other factor is Joe Willis, the goalkeeper for Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue he's probably one of the most embarrassed goalkeepers by Lionel Messi. Or not even necessarily embarrassed, but like scoring huge goals. Like, yeah, huge goals and huge moments and cooking them.
Was this not the first time Nashville beat Inter Miami in the playoffs?
They never played them in the, they played in Leagues Cup, final. They lost 2 years in a row in I think in the one in the final and one in the semifinal, right, if I'm not mistaken. But Willis had the first game got cooked. Willis is like guaranteed a flop, some sort of mistake. And he gives up bad goals. He's done it throughout the regular season. He's just in game one, him and Walker Zimmerman collided, and he dropped the ball for Messi to tap. So it's like Murphy's Law with Willis. Like, what can go wrong will go wrong, yeah, and it always seems to happen to him. But when he has a good game, Nashville are
This is Nashville's first ever win against Inter Miami since Messi joined.
Okay. This is the first Messi win. That's right.
Okay.
I was going to make that point after, but good. I'm glad I got clarified.
So it is. So I think he is going to be the difference. If he can go mistake free, which he pretty much did in game two, he gave up the goal to Messi, but you know.
Yeah, well, add yourself to the list. Yeah, okay.
But he's on that list a lot. Yeah, that's the thing.
But still, I mean, so is some of the greatest goalkeepers in history.
Yeah, to me, if he has a good game, Inter Miami cannot win, and he had a good game in game two. Can he do that two times in a row? I think the rain also was probably a factor for Inter Miami, but they still had a bunch of good chances, and Willis made the stop. So
Nashville seem like the team that's perfectly positioned to be able to compete with Inter Miami, because they're so defensively stout, right? And they have the ability to counterattack if need be. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes: Is Inter Miami, and I guess maybe we don't need to really have this conversation until after the third game if they get eliminated.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they go on to win MLS Cup, who cares? But is Inter Miami better with, if Messi was positioned around Messi, is Inter Miami better with a bunch of young players around Messi, or are they better with this sort of older, retired, but still very dangerous in front of goal type of squad? The reason I bring that up is because you have to counter, right? Do you think the league cares more about being able to market all the big names that are associated with Inter Miami? Or if Inter Miami seemingly fail in the playoffs again, is it better for Inter Miami to go and win? So is it better for Inter Miami to win MLS Cup with Messi alone and a bunch of younger players maybe you've never heard of? Or is it better for them to play every game throughout the regular season with all these big names and then potentially not really win?
I mean, you're asking it from like, if, you know, the league office is down the block, are they, is that the conversation?
Does that balance the scales? Do you think it's better for Miami to win, or is it better for Miami to be the traveling circus?
I would say traveling circus makes more money. So that was probably.
Would it? If Inter Miami had Messi and a bunch of players you've never heard of, right? Again, hyperbole.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We heard of them. Isn't that them winning MLS Cup? Does that not make them more of a marketing?
Yeah, yeah. But whose perspective are you speaking from? Do you want you think the league is wanting the sort of better
Forget
scenario?
The league in general, right? We want this.
Like the storyline.
Yeah, we want MLS to be successful.
Right.
What's better for MLS? What's better for us? People who claiming, look at our YouTube. We talk about Messi a lot. Right? What's better for us? We're not talking about Suarez. We're not talking about Jordi Alba. We're not talking about Busquets. Busquets, one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
We're not really talking about him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say it's sort of comparative to, you know, the report that we could sort of compare it to NYCFC. David Lee, the sporting director, left, and there's reports that he left because he wanted a little bit more control and autonomy over the players that he signed, and he did right. want to
New
sign.
New York City FC is different, right? It's run by City.
It is. I'm just saying, yeah. comparatively, he wanted to sign the big names to kind of have a little bit of the traveling circus. The higher ups, probably at CFG, were like, nah, we're doing pretty well with these like younger guys that upstarts, maybe find these like hidden gems.
Flip the South American exactly. players.
Yeah. And it's working out, right? Like they make it to the playoffs outside of the first year or second year. They make it to the playoffs. They're pretty consistent. They missed, what, like 3 years ago or whatever. But they that seems to work out. And you don't have to overspend. And you still get good results on the pitch. And you know, it all, obviously they have different ambitions and goals because, you know, NYCFC has their stadium coming in 2 years. Miami has their stadium coming in next year. So they already have the players to sell the tickets to get to that that moment in their history or whatever. So I would say that it is a, what's the better... Like, what's better for the family?
Would you pick silverware over the traveling circus?
I would pick silverware over the traveling circus if I was an Inter Miami fan. But as I am not an Inter Miami fan, I would prefer the traveling circus because I would want to see the circus.
It's a good way to put it. Yeah. I guess if I look at it, I'm like, man, it seems like a smarter decision for Jorge Mas and David mm-hmm. Beckham and them to be like, why don't we surround Messi with players that can cover for his defensive liabilities? And maybe they're not big names. Maybe they're not superstars. Maybe they're not Rodrigo De Paul, but they'll be able to cover him.
Speaking of Rodrigo De Paul, I don't know if this is, you know, I saw a couple of people talking about this. Shout out to Hercules Gomez as well. But Rodrigo De Paul flew to Argentina in between matches to go see his girlfriend do a concert. I don't know who he's dating exactly, but she was performing. And some people are like, oh, my man's being, you know, a great boyfriend or whatever. And then other people are like, yo, if you were playing, is this a Champions League or whatever? Like, and no. You just go, like, what are we doing here?
You already know the answer, man.
What are we doing? Why are we cool with this? Like,
how about Messi in 2 days? Carter, can you pull that up? In 2 days, the image of the FIU thing. In 2 days or 3 days, he's going to be part of some business.
Some business summit.
Yeah, with some of the most hated human beings on the planet?
Trump, the Malay.
And Will Smith?
And Will Smith. Why is Will Smith?
Damn.
Yo, if Will Smith ain't there to smack Trump, yo, why are you
there? Why are you there, dog?
Why are you there, bro?
Take Malay out. Why are you there, Will?
Can you get two people in one slap?
Yo, you did. Was Trump ever disrespectful to Jada Smith, bro?
Anyway.
Jada Pinkett Smith?
So anyway, who knows what the, what?
I mean, this is, we're in the middle of a playoff. He's about to be eliminated. And homie's going to go, is he going to talk? Is he going to dial in?
I have no idea.
What's but happening at FIU?
It's one of the trippiest, like you know, nightclub flyers I've ever seen.
If this was a comedy show, you'd be like, I'm not performing anymore.
Anyway.
What's Johnny Infantino going to do in this thing?
All the worst. It's a nightmare blunt rotation. Yo, right
100%,
here.
100%, bro.
Anyway.
Everyone who drinks children's blood will be at
all your favorites. It's going to be a monster truck commercial.
Jeez, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Messi, Malay, yeah,
Messi.
Trump.
Messi and Trump. High-fiving.
Everybody who wants to squash labor movements.
Yeah, seriously.
Is in the same room. Anyway. Let's move on. In other MLS playoff news, LAFC just completely smack up Austin FC.
I watched this game, and let me tell you something. It felt like an LAFC party. I don't know why. Like, Austin couldn't get their ish together. The missed penalty, everything. It just felt like the image of him of Sun Heung-min running off from the sideline and jumping with a Bobasi at the end.
I was like, what was that like weird like trio hump?
What
that was a trio. That
it
was
felt
like,
very.
I loved it. I was like,
it felt very like video gamey. Something about it didn't feel real.
Well, it's also because they're like they're celebrating so like with so much joy, and they're not at home, so like clearly nobody's supporting that they're doing that. And it was just hilarious to see. It was also one of those. A Bobasi of like, bro, you could easily be starting. Like if these superstars were not here, you would be the starter. I mean,
think we say
fantastic.
That because we see him in small portions. I think we've seen him start.
But every small portion, he scores a goal. Right.
It's
bangers.
It's a little easier when you got guys like Bawanga making everyone run around. And you come in when you're tired.
Sure. No,
we saw what it was like when he started towards the tail end of his career. It wasn't as effective. But it felt like. You would have told me that was at LA. It was at whatever bank. If it's not Bank of California anymore. What is it now? It's the
BMO.
The BMO. BMO. If you told me this was at BMO Stadium, I believe you. It felt like Austin didn't even show up for this in a way.
I wouldn't say. I think they were. Nico Estevez after a game mentioned how aggressive they were, and they got burned by trying to be that aggressive. And it's. The reality of like a three game series since the games are like we'll have a winner like you and it's not aggregate goals or whatever like you don't need to overextend yourself or take too many risks too early and they did and they got burned by such incredible quality and Sun when he's 1v1 against pretty much anybody and this is why Sun is so dangerous especially in Major League Soccer is that there aren't many players that. You almost can't even tell if they're left or right footed. And Sun is one of those players. He can burn you with either foot. You saw he did the step over. So clearly you're like, okay, he might go this way. So let me stop. Let me take away his right foot. And then goes the other way.
Also, I thought at this age he wouldn't be tracking back as far as he does to get the ball.
Yeah.
I thought he would maybe be camping up a little bit up top. But when you have Denny Bawanga, that partnership is so great, man. They constantly look for each other. They kind of already have like a sixth sense of where the other player is going to be.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing in the playoffs, it's so much more dangerous to have Heung-min Son or Son Heung-min, whatever, in a midfield position, almost play that false nine where he tracks back.
He's everywhere, yeah.
And he could burn you by running at you or he could burn you by making that late second pass.
And the goal that he scored was on the left. And he took that space and Bawanga went out, I think, more central at that moment. But then also the goal from Bawanga. The
ridiculous.
So Brendan Hines-Eich.
Is that who he cooked?
That's who he cooked, bro.
Bro, Brendan Hines-Eich, one ankle left. He got one ankle left.
My man, he dug his heels into the dirt. Like, bro, where they're like,
he was talking to Earthworm, bro. He was like, how's your day been? Because mine's not going so well.
He was like,
right now.
Anybody check the sprinkler out here? I think I hit the plumbing from the stadium.
Who's aerating this field? Because you guys have done a wonderful job. I could breathe while I'm in here.
Groundskeeper, Brendan Hines-Eich. I mean, what just a lovely, lovely touch. But and cuts inside.
MLS jukes like that usually the player that does the cut kind of has to find the ball again, you know, takes like one or two of those baby steps to sort of position themselves again. This was one of the most flawless cuts. The ball trailed right where it needed to be for the shot. And what I love about Bwanga, and I've mentioned this before, when he shoots, it's almost always no looks. Like he walks away. He prances away as if got him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's the swaggy P, like shoot and turn around. Like,
I don't even need a look.
I don't need a look. But
that one I missed.
But that's exactly. Yeah, dude, it was a...
But Uzuni, man, missing that penalty was
crazy. A horrific penalty.
That's what zapped all the energy out of this team. And I know they kind of got momentum a little again towards the end, but by that point it was already gone, and then you left yourself so...
They left themselves so open, So, this was... I felt bad for Brad Stuver, because I think, a really great goalkeeper.
I don't think any of those goals were his mistakes.
The defending was just atrocious, and when your fullbacks are basically on the other side of the pitch, and you really only have two or three defenders back to how are you going to stop Son and Bwanga? It was really, if Austin scored first in this game, I think it changes the entire tone. But they got cooked. I mean, they got cooked in the first game was closer, but they way too many risks, and they got burned by the quality of LAFC. NYCFC losing pens to Charlotte.
That was a rough one.
And if in my memory, was this the first ever penalties at Yankee Stadium in a playoff game? That wasn't League's Cup. I remember there were League's Cup penalties.
I can't remember.
MLS playoffs. I'm almost certain in the entirety of NYCFC's history, I think those were the first penalties in Yankee Stadium. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I won't be doing that.
But this was I think NYCFC were objectively better, and they just couldn't find the goal. I think Kalina was fantastic. I mean, without Kalina...
Kalina was incredible.
The stop from on the set piece, the Thiago Martins header, Thiago Martins obviously just hits it right at him, but it's still a fantastic stop, and he made a bunch of really great stops. It all came sort of down to penalties. Also Zaha being in this game was a factor, but Tavon Gray.
I did say that it would be a different team to face, that they would have that outlet, but Tavon Gray shut him down.
That's what I said, bro. I said even in game one, if Zaha was there, Tavon did a fantastic job.
No, because it also takes Tavon's ability offensively out of question, because you have to focus on Zaha.
Sure.
Which is what I said would also happen. But I was standing, I went to the pitch side seats, I had some friends there. And I was standing on the Tavon Gray Zaha side. Bro, Zaha was getting so frustrated. He was trying anything to get this guy booked, scared. At one point, there was a free kick, and Tavon got off of him, and he had another. I can't remember who defended him. Ojeda, maybe, at that point was in front of him. And you saw Zaha like begging for the ball, because like, finally, I don't got this guy out. Right. But Tavon shut him down. It was a funny moment where he looked at over here. He looked at where we were. He was trying to keep it professional, but he looked at us. He was like, bro, this dude ain't got it.
Yeah.
And we were all going crazy. But I was really, really impressed with what Tavon did there. Because Zaha's not an easy... Yeah, he's a little bit older, but he's not an easy guy.
I know.
Especially on a short pitch.
Tricky, yeah.
On a short pitch, he can really burn you. And, bro, he got him locked. He could do nothing on that side.
Did he even take a shot?
He might have. I think he definitely did. I know he cut back. I was there when he cut back.
I don't know if he got one on target or anything. But, obviously, it goes to penalties and... USMNT number one. I think NYCFC fans were like, all right, we got it.
I was very confident in his ability to handle penalties. I like the fact that they got it in front of the supporters as well.
Yeah. So yeah, I was recording, we could probably play it right now. I was recording when Freeze got the stop the second shot. So I'm like, that's it.
Wrap it
make the rest of your pens and you're good to go. And then Julian Fernandez comes up.
Like,
and
what about if we don't?
He was the only one where beforehand I'm like,
confidence.
I don't love, there's something, we've seen plenty of penalties on TV up close, in person. And there's something that just says like, the confidence is not there.
He's very sheepish on the way up.
And I was just like, part of me was just like, he's kind of a
a clever player. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the game with Charles Boehm. I was watching the second half with Charles Boehm of MLSsoccer.com. Shout out to Charlie. And as while I was watching the game, I was telling him, like, Julio Fernandez is a great player, but severely left-footed. Like, yeah. He just sort of.
Remember when he scored with his right? We were like, hey, yeah. We were freaking out.
Right? So I'm watching. I'm like, he's kind of like clever. So he'll do a Travella before ever trying something with his right foot. So he's kind of like a clever play. And when he walked up to the penalty, I'm like, just don't do any. Just smash it, bro. Yeah. Don't be clever. Don't be tricky.
Don't try to soft touch it. Yeah.
And he tries to do. Yeah. He does kind of a slow run. Tries to pass it into, and it couldn't have gone any worse.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand. You hit the post. You smash it, but the keeper stops it.
The camera cuts to the keeper. He's looking around like, are we redoing that? He like did something happen? Did a whistle blow? Because it looked like he didn't really make contact with it.
And keeper, Kalina went to the completely opposite side. He would have, it reminds me, not exactly of a Jorginho penalty, because he does a little bit, he's a little bit more, he does a little hop and everything. But this was really bad. Like, yeah. I mean, from the form itself, didn't necessarily look like it would be that bad. And then, but it was really, really
it was
bad.
Worse.
It was just a soft.
I actually thought it went in. And I'm like, why did everyone all? Yeah.
it just
angle I was at, the ball went straight.
It's weird
me.
To see a penalty be hit softly and be that far wide.
And be that bad.
Yeah.
Or at least not stop. Usually if it's that soft, it runs right into
exactly.
the keeper's hands.
Yeah. So
here's a real question though. How confident are you with them going to Charlotte now on Friday?
I mean, they did it once over there. It's going to be, I think the advantage, I'll be completely honest. I think NYCFC still has the advantage here, because even though the game is away, the game is on at Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Who's going to go? And people are going to still be at work.
People in Charlotte, they're showing up for the second half.
Well, I don't know why Major League Soccer. I don't know. What is the scenario?
4 p.m. Eastern.
They must be a Charlotte, a Carolina Panthers home game on Sunday that they have to turn the field over for. That's the only reason why it has to be.
2 hours?
I guess.
2 hours? You can't do this game at 6 o'clock? Make a happy hour in the concession?
Insane. Dean Smith was upset that the game was on a Tuesday at 7:30. Friday
How upset
at 4
are you gonna be?
Is worse. Yeah. There's no way.
What, Dean Smith got another job? Sorry?
I got the night shift at
He's
Walmart.
He's like, yo, my boss won't give me off, dog. You want me to head coach this game?
So I think it's still, I can't imagine there's going to be way more tickets sold than that Tuesday game.
Well, employees are going to at least have to be there for the first hour. Yeah, yeah. Charlotte FC. They're going to
have the paper, the grab.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I still favor NYCFC there. I think they were better in both games. And Charlotte, I don't think has, Kalina needs to have another spectacular game. But unless it goes to penalty, where I think it happened, but I still favor NYCFC in regulation. I think they can get it done. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk some NWSL right after this.
All right. Welcome back to the Cooligans. Hey, why don't we go around the league? Because NWSL playoffs are about to start. In fact, on the way into the playoffs, there was a lot of movement possible at the bottom of the playoff bracket, if you will, the allowed teams into the playoffs.
Correct.
And for some reason, Gotham decided, hey, why don't we move as far as possible by losing to a team that was already knocked out of the playoffs in North Carolina Courage, losing, I believe, what was it, 3-1, if I'm not mistaken, or 3-0?
3-2.
3-2. That's right.
It was 3-0 for most of the game.
Most of the game. That's when I stopped watching, because I'm like, why am I watching this? This is very painful.
Yeah.
So it ends 3-2. Gotham still in the playoffs, but now no home game. In fact, they have to face quite possibly one of the greatest NWSL teams of all time.
Well, technically the greatest.
The greatest.
With the NWSL points record.
So they will be facing the Kansas City Current at home.
This is a game where you know exactly, not only do you know what's sort of at stake, but you know what, it's like, can we get possibly a home game? Or, just jump into a wood chipper.
Yeah, it feels like there's a door you have to go through, and standing in front of that door is Mike Tyson swinging.
Right, and right. Yeah, guaranteed. It's a clear door, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but you can't. There's no other door you can go through, so you have to figure out a way to get through this door and go and get not get punched.
Yeah, I mean, obviously frustrating for Gotham. You know, I think as I'm watching the game, it's just again one of those testaments to what I believe NWSL being the greatest league in the world. Given that if this was the Women's Super League and it's you know, Chelsea against Brighton or something, right, like, it's like you know what the result game you have, you're like, you sort of know, like they're one team is like at the bottom of the table, maybe possibly relegated, and you know what the effort is going to be, you know what the quality is going to be. But even in a team that is already eliminated from the playoffs, to play this hard,
and
play with that much heart, where like it's raining like crazy.
What do they call them in other American sports, like the playoff spoilers or something like that?
Play
the spoiler. You want to play the spoiler.
And in other leagues, a lot of teams at the bottom of the table would not be able to do that. In NWSL, that's very much possible and plausible. I think it raises questions to Gotham, like the not necessarily like mentality or anything like that, but just like to not. Even a draw would have been fantastic. But to give up three goals, to be down 3-0 and have that mountain to climb in that game against that team is, I mean, again, it just shows how close the table is from a team in the playoffs that could possibly win the whole thing to completely being out of it. The gap is very narrow.
It's crazy. We were talking about like teams that go up or down, and we were like, well, at least, you know, Gotham can't be eliminated, right? Obviously, we're both Gotham fans. So for them to fall to that position kind of sucks. But
they did. But just say they were in this exact position the year they won. They were in last place. And
so anything can happen in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes maybe after a loss, you could talk a little bit harder to, you know, your team and figure out a way to inspire them moving forward. Although they don't have the Ali Krieger, you know, play for Ali Krieger thing this year. A couple players are retiring, though, this year.
Yeah.
None of them Gotham players. We got Ali Riley done with the game. And we've got Kristen Press.
Yes. And both sad ways to go out.
Yeah.
There's something with
Kristen Press, for some reason, I was kind of already prepared for because she spent so much time away from the game.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of prepared for it, even though it felt like it would never happen. Also, she just looked very young still.
Sure.
So for me, I'm like, well, she's got 10 more years.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, this happens with a lot of players when they retire. They're like, my brain says I can keep going, but my body's just telling me something else.
My mind's telling me,
right. I have a shout out to Arco.
Not a problematic person to bring up. Actually, he's going to be there with Messi, Malay, and Trump. Right. Him and Diddy are going to call
he's
in.
Obviously, good roster to have. Yeah. Anyway. But the, like, so Ali Riley, she had a nerve issue or something like that. I forgot the injury.
Surgery won't cure it.
Yeah. So with Kristen Press, it just feels like we even though she won two World Cups, played in, I believe, two Olympics as well. And it just feels like the story didn't end the way we all sort of wanted, and it just feels like we needed more Kristen Press. I think she's one of the players that was the early NWSL years where it was like clearly much more of a growing league.
Yeah,
startup, and obviously some players were getting paid next to nothing. And didn't get the same notoriety and publicity. She got the publicity when she was playing in the national team, when she was playing with the Chicago Red Stars. Mm-hmm. It was just not the same. Like, if she was in this era right now, the Kristen Press and continuously playing, she would be on another.
She's got Trinity Robin promo. Yeah, for sure.
So they played.
Super techie,
they played their last game for Angel City. Angel City is also an interesting, a lot going on with Angel City. We had Meg Linehan on the other day to talk about the Elizabeth Eddy op-ed. I want to mention that we didn't talk about this.
Actually, we can announce Elizabeth Eddy's going to be at the FIU thing. Messi, Trump, Malay.
The pillars.
Yeah. her and Gianni Infantino are going to walk out holding hands. It's going to be great.
But Alexis Ohanian was on some like a business podcast. I was just seeing
he was saying that to treat soccer teams like a startup doesn't work in sports like it does in business.
Yes, and he sort of
too many owners
mentioned the regret he had for how he set up Angel City, and then I think it's kind of a reflection of why the team has been so lackluster and so poor. Like they did everything. We were there for when the first jersey.
We
reveal,
were literally the first people
to see the first jersey.
Yeah.
So
on purpose. we didn't like sneak in a room.
And the fact that the everything around the team, the marketing and everything is fantastic. It's just they couldn't ever field like a proper team. The sporting side has just never been good. They missed the playoffs again. They made the playoffs, I believe, last year. It was the first time, I think. And it's interesting hearing him mention that and why he set up the team the way he did. And he said that. He said NWSL shouldn't have allowed him to structure the team that way, which is kind of a very big. With all due respect, it's his fault, right? It's his.
Yeah.
He's saying.
But he's like, why isn't even anyone telling me it's my fault?
I guess it's a
he's right, though. If you have sporting expertise, you should go to like the money guy and go, hey, this isn't how you do this.
Right. And he sort of created this like board and a lot of people's input as opposed to having one owner say like, okay, you're going to be doing this and you're going to do this and that's it. And there's not going to be a lot of debate. And it seems like there is having this sort of democratic approach to,
you got to delegate
to sporting decisions may not be the best way to run a sports club or sports franchise. It sort of makes me think about, in the Premier League, right? And I know Tottenham, they always are upset with the board and they're always mad at Levy and because of some of the sporting decisions that were made because they maybe didn't sign the players that they want. Arsenal, I think sometimes you always hear the board come up in conversations.
Well, in the past, right? It seems like Barta has gotten a little bit of
The expertise is in a much higher level when it comes to clubs like that because they obviously the scouting and research opposed to like a new club in NWSL and stuff like that. But I just thought it was an interesting insight for Alexis Mania to be like transparent about like, hey, this is why the team has sucked because
we were looking on LinkedIn for players. we messed up.
So what ended up happening is that he sold his shares to Bob Iger.
But I know he delegated all control.
Yeah.
To Natalie Portman and
Julie Ehrman.
Julie Ehrman, and there's another person. There's three people. So they now sort of.
But he was like kind of throwing everybody. He was like.
No more Garcia Power didn't do anything, bro.
But he was good. But he specifically mentioned Natalie Portman and Julie Ehrman, kind of saying like they didn't put up any money, but they had as much influence on the club as he did.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, bro. why are you putting out this all in bus?
We all believe Natalie Portman, and now you all.
you trying to make me dislike Natalie Portman,
wow,
bro?
Wow, dude. Don't make me rewatch Leon the Professional.
We got to get Alexis Ohanian on the show. Yeah.
Another male Alexis.
We got to get two Alexis on the show. Not that many of us. So, but then the other thing to talk about in regards to Angel City is we were talking about the Elizabeth Eddy op-ed, but then the team responded. So shout out to the captain of the team, Sarah Gordon.
Sarah Gordon during the post-game press conference.
Yes.
She was like, let me address it. Yeah. Or maybe someone asked. I'm not sure.
She just started the press conference off like that. So she's like, before we take any questions. So her and the vice captain of the team as well were up there and gave statements. But there was one quote that I wanted to point out. She said, as she's talking about, she said, quote, that's very harmful. And to me, it's inherently racist. She said, she goes on and she says, quote, as a mixed woman with a black family, I'm devastated by the undertones of this article. I feel very protective of my teammates and this community who are also hurt by this. That includes staff and everyone who is a supporter and a fan. And there are players in this league and in this locker room that are directly harmed by what was written in the article. End quote.
She also started the press conference by saying no one in the locker room agrees with this article.
Yeah. I mean, this is
you know, after we posted the episode with Meg Linehan and posted the clip, obviously a lot of the engagement show a lot of support to all the players, transgender or not, or intersex, or everybody, you know, kind of going through any kind of abuse when it comes to this stuff. And there's also lots of people that are like, Elizabeth Eddy was right. She's great. She's saying all the right things.
A lot of dudes in Oakleys in the front seats of their cars.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is just the main thing. It's hard to not think of you as a complete and total loser if this is the argument that you're making, especially since there are no transgender players in the league.
This is what I keep saying. Why are we having this argument? Until I see a transgender player lift a trophy after having the golden boot, the golden ball, and all this, I don't want to hear this argument. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's and that's the main thing. Is that it's
also, when that happens, I still don't want to have this argument. I want you to know. But at least you have a leg to stand on.
Right.
Oh, this one player bodied the rest of the league. Until that happens, move on. And by the way, we've had conversations with pro players who say, like, you know, players who've, you know, what was that time, like the women's national team played like the U17 men's, and the U17 men's won by a lot, and then we've had explanations of, like, physically, like, you know, we're a little bit smaller than they were and they're bigger and stuff like that. We've heard some of these arguments where you're like, oh, okay, maybe this is why the leagues aren't like fully mixed or whatever, because I've always wondered, like, how was that? Wasn't there like a hockey goalkeeper who was like a woman who played in the NHL at one point?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like, I'm like, why not? Why not more? Who cares, right? I'm like, whatever. If you're good enough, get on the team. Get on the team. And so we've heard some arguments, but this whole idea of, like, the, you know, the one transgender athlete that some of these people keep referencing somehow ruining these leagues. Like, what are you talking about? Right. None of this is happening.
It's also, and again, there are, to be explicitly clear, there are no men who are playing in the NWSL or trying to play in the NWSL. It's just not a thing, right?
By the way, if any team in the NWSL were to sign me, I would also want you to want me out of there, because I would die, dude. I would die.
You're not getting an advantage by having Alexis on your team.
No, if anything, it's hurting you, and your physio budget is going to go way high.
And there's no men, and there's no women who have transitioned, or men who have transitioned to become women that are playing. That is also not happening either.
No one I know is competitive enough to go, what if I cut my dick off? Maybe then I could lose the trophy.
So these arguments, this op-ed, only serves as an attack on transgender people, because the people who suffer the most abuse from this,
especially the non-transgender people, you added to the article as a photo.
Exactly, right. And this is, and I remember when I was playing in TST, we had played a team.
Did they check if you got a date?
We gotta make sure.
I gotta see. I gotta look.
A little, just a pat. Yo, I'm just gonna pat
we gotta make sure it's not velcroed on there. So I'm gonna slap it around a little bit,
shake it a little bit, and just make sure.
I don't know why this is happening at night in my hotel room, but this is where we check.
Look, TSC is the first time I ever played at that competitive of a level. There was $1 million.
Well, that is the transgender sports tournament, right? That's what the TSC stands for. So it's okay. Here it's allowed.
So we play against this team called the Raleigh Rebels. Uh-huh. And they're obviously from Raleigh, North Carolina. And their center forward was this guy who was 6'4".
Right.
Literally the largest man I've ever seen in front of me, like on a soccer field.
Right, that you now have to compete with.
I have to compete. I am I'm like 4 inches shorter. Right. I'm 100 pounds.
Next to him, you're a Filipino 12-year-old.
I am 100 pounds lighter than this guy. This guy was 6'4", absolute muscle.
Yeah.
Could control the ball. He was Lukaku, like, you know.
Just a mountain of a human being.
Our center backs were trying to, he would shield the ball, and you could either try to go around him and try to get it, or he would just cut back and take a shot and rocket to the goalkeeper.
Of course.
Or you could body him and hold him up.
Yeah.
And he would physically move you. You could not, we didn't have anybody strong enough.
Yeah. Shaq. It's like trying to post up Shaq.
The idea that, I could complain and be like, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
He's too strong and he's too fast.
Yeah.
And then, so I would have to create some argument to
exclude him from the game.
Right.
And this is how I feel like in
your press game conference, like, you think transgender athletes are a problem? How about people who've eaten too much protein? It's just more protein than what I've been allotted in my life. And now look at him.
So when it comes to Elizabeth Eddy's op-ed and calling out players that might have women that might have higher testosterone or intersex or whatever, they are anatomically female. And this is, and yes, NWSL needs to have a gender eligibility and stuff like that. But to make the complaint about, like, this is all about fairness. I'm not attacking anybody. And it's like, well, yeah, you're saying you're not attacking anybody, but by publicizing this opinion on a very huge platform of people that are going to agree with you, you are basically the sort of an attack dog, and you're like sending all these people to abuse these people.
You
that
know what they say about, like, dudes that are, like, very homophobic, that means they're most likely gay themselves, and they're hiding it. We need to check if she got a dick. why are you going this hard? Why are you going this hard?
That's what you got to take from this conversation. That's
why
are really
you going this hard? Maybe it's just the way math is done in my brain. But why are you going this hard out of nowhere? We've met this person before.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had this hate in your heart.
But that's the thing, is that I don't think she would categorize it as hate.
Of course she wouldn't. They never do.
No.
You think the mega church in the middle of Mississippi thinks I'm being hateful?
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah. I'm just being the least like Jesus possible while doing this in front of an image of Jesus.
Anyway, so yeah, dude. So I loved seeing that press conference from Sarah Gordon and Angel City, and you know, I know some.
And we were waiting for other players on Angel City to make a statement or come up and say something. And so what a beautifully done job.
It can't be any more clear. I understand that there might be people that agree with Elizabeth Eddy. Fine. Sure, I understand that. But within the league, she is an active player.
Yeah.
Within the league, I don't know where you're going to drum up this support. If your coworkers are being like, yo, I don't f*** with her. I don't know what she's on about. Where are you going to gain the support to get this quote-unquote fairness that you're talking about? Because nobody agrees. Your teammates don't seem to agree with you. So this clearly wasn't some conversation.
I'm sure there's some who agree. Unfortunately, overwhelmingly no. But overwhelmingly, some players.
I mean, you're gonna have you know, the Corbin Alberts.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
They're gonna be there. But yeah, dude, I just
spelled with a K, obviously.
Again, for something that is not a problem, that's the frustrating thing. It's not a problem. It's not a thing that you're dealing with realistically. Right. You're not playing, so you're like, what's unfair about it? You're not losing a job opportunity because of any transgender player or anything like that. So it just seems like the source of it comes from something hateful and something negative. That's the only way I can kind of rationalize it, because you're attacking a problem that doesn't exist.
Well, next year she can't play anyway. She's gonna be busy at the React Comedy Festival.
The bits are gonna be crazy. Yeah. All right. Another quick break. We're going to wrap up with Happy the Reactions. Let's get to some Rapido reactions. Our producer, Carter, will be tossing us a bunch of subjects. We have 90 seconds to respond. So, Carter.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Alexis is here. Carter, kick us off.
All right. The first one here, Tyler Adams scores his first goal for Bournemouth in a loss, unfortunately. But he started.
What are you, North Korean? Why bring up the loss, bro? What was that? Here's my Rapido reaction. Carter hates America.
Okay.
Wow.
Glad we've confirmed. Tyler Adams scored his first goal after a little mistake from Donnarumma.
I think Donnarumma wanted to see him shine. That's what I think. Donnarumma was like, what if I don't punch this hard enough?
I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake or just some smart play. I forgot who the Bournemouth player that was kind of bumped him a little bit, got in his way. He was going for the ball. But Tyler Adams is there, right place, right time.
Composure
on the volley,
bruh.
6 inches away from goal.
Damn,
rocket.
The instinct to get his foot in the right spot. A lot of defenders, a lot of defensive midfielders would have skied that.
Maybe
because they get a little shook. Not my boy Tyler.
Man, you know, Balogun better watch out.
I add him to the list. He's also above Patrick Ajima. on the striker list.
Now, it was great to see his first goal, obviously in a long time, but his first goal in the Premier League.
First ever goal in the Premier League.
Yeah, and first goal for Bournemouth. And I saw Andoni Iraola talking about Tyler Adams recently, and he was just talking about how much he respected his game. And he was like, he's clearly a leader. You can see that even with this team, with the national team, and spoke just very, very highly of him. Which I think is a very good sign. Like, obviously,
was Andoni Iraola on New York City FC during the Red Wedding?
That was 2016. I think he got there 2017.
Wow, that might be a big...
Or he might have been there.
Crazy that Andoni might have lost the game with Tyler Adams on the other team.
We got to go.
And now he's coaching him.
I don't think Tyler Adams played in that game, though, in the Red Wedding. He wasn't there yet. Anyway, next up.
All right, some good news for Barcelona. Lamine Yamal broke up with his girlfriend, so maybe he can focus on football now. What do you guys got?
25-year-old girlfriend. Can I give an update to this?
Sure.
I don't know if you saw, Bill Belichick's now dating her.
How crazy is that?
Oh my God! Let the kid have a moment, will you?
I can't believe clearly Jordan is allowing it.
I mean. You had them both up. You're still not even to his age, bro.
You're still like 20 years older.
Damn.
No, this is obviously Lamine Yamal's dealing with a lot of backlash and a lot of, he scored the other day against Elche. And some people were mentioning he stopped doing the LeBron crown celebration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe he's trying a little bit more of a humble approach.
Mm.
You don't want to see kids in love breaking up. I mean, you hate to see it.
What was he? She's a singer, a rapper.
She's a rapper, singer, reggaetonera type.
The bars are gonna be crazy. It's gonna be Lily Allen level. Lily Allen's Tupac, by the way. She Ethan this man in a sing-songy way over a whole album.
You know, Taylor Swift style. You know,
yeah. But more.
More. Okay.
Taylor Swift with seasoning, with a little tahini. You know what I mean?
So hopefully this works out. It's gonna work out.
You think it'll be better for Lamine Yamal's? Maybe he won't have pubic injuries anymore.
That's what we all want. We want the best for his pubic area.
Right, take care of her, Bill.
All right.
Next up, the Real Madrid. They've won 10 of their first 11 La Liga games this season. It's the second time this century that they've been able to accomplish this feat. Xabi Alonso, he's bringing that Leverkusen magic to Madrid.
Well, the
took him a year, but he's there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they everything with Vinny seems to be more resolved or whatever. I don't know. I think it's in a better place than it was when we were talking about it last week, but. This is a I don't necessarily think of it like I feel like almost any manager who has the what available to them like as a roster for Real Madrid will do pretty fine.
Yeah, I mean, this is the part that's so frustrating. It's like, even if you do this through the whole year and you win, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You're one of the other Real Madrid managers that did this.
Exactly. So I think Champions League is where we want to see kind of the bigger performances.
Would it take for Xabi Alonso to get a statue outside of Santiago Bernabeu?
It has to be something crazy. Yeah,
it's insane.
The standards and the expectations are just so high that impressing.
This got nothing to do with Real Madrid, because I do think Real Madrid is the biggest club in the world. They're obviously, you know, heralded or whatever. I'd much rather go to a team that's never won and win it there than be one of the other people that won it at Real Madrid. I just don't see what the lure is.
Okay, I mean, I don't know what that means. I mean, it's just like what you don't. It's like not wanting to be the biggest star in Hollywood or something like that. Like,
there's no point being the next 007 versus be the Jason Bourne or
okay,
something.
Okay, I get it.
I don't really get it. I'd rather get Arsenal to win the Champions League. I'm trying to say.
Really quick, yes or no answer. If he stays there for 10 years, wins 10 league titles, 10 consecutive league titles, and let's say like 2 or 3 Champions League, does he get a statue?
No.
10 league titles seems like worth the statue.
It's not a statue. I'm not saying he will get one.
All right, next up here, Erling Haaland has 13 Premier League goals already in just the first 10 games. Over under 36.5 Premier League goals, does he break his own record?
So for reference, he's on pace right now to score 52 Premier League goals by the end of the season. He scored 36 two seasons ago. Uh-huh. Last year, I think he had 22. And that was like a bad season for him. Yeah. Where if Jokinen scores 22, I'm jerking the guy off myself.
Whatever. Like, wait, this has to happen, Victor.
Whatever. Cover your eyes with the stupid hand Bane thing. whatchamacallit? If he scores 13, so far 13 and 10, 36 and a half. So that would best his best season yet.
Which is the Premier League goal scoring record.
I think he does it.
I'm going to say.
Because he's the only one scoring goals for
Right. I'm going to say City. He doesn't do it only because I think he's going to get injured. He gets injured every year. And
have you seen his YouTube channel? The guy's chugging raw milk and eating teeth.
He's taking care of
tomahawks.
If he does not get injured, he is smashing this record. But it happens all. If it didn't happen every year where he misses a couple games and sometimes long stretches where he misses like six or seven, I would say otherwise. But he's gonna get hurt. And I hate to say that, and I don't want it to happen. But he literally always gets hurt. So, and because Man City rely on him so much, they need to use him. He's the only one scoring. Damn. So I'm gonna say under. Okay.
You don't believe in raw milk, I guess. Wow, crazy.
I gotta ask my nutritionist wife first.
All right, last one here. Bayern Munich, they won their 15th game in a row. They're kind of just flying on all cylinders here. Is Vincent Kompany proving his genius here at Bayern Munich?
Flying on all cylinders, not the phrase.
Not the phrase.
But
okay, gubernatorial. Yeah.
You gotta listen to the intro if you want that one. I think this is proving the hardest part for me with all this is that he was in charge of a Burnley that got relegated.
Burnley legend,
and his
bro.
Next job is Bayern winning 15 in a row. And by the way, it's not. This doesn't feel very much like what the tone we had with Real Madrid conversation. This is because of Vince Kompany's tactics.
Yeah.
And this is also Xabi Alonso's tactics as well. But you also have like all the superstars in the world. Bayern has by far the best and most expensive team in Bundesliga. But Vince and Kompany's tactics are on another level, the way he has them playing in a different way. He has everyone banging on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. To me, this feels like a Vince and Kompany sort of retribution.
Yeah, I mean, I think that first year, was it the first or second year where Leverkusen won? Was that company's first year?
No, that was the year after that its company came in.
Okay. Yeah. So, no, but company didn't win the league the first
year.
No,
he did.
Oh, he did.
Thomas Tuchel was the coach of Bayern Munich the year they lost to Leverkusen.
Got it. Okay. So, Leverkusen, having that invisible season seems to be the only thing that could beat a Bayern Munich. You know what I mean? Like that and win that league. So credit to company. I sort of have the same view of Bayern in Bundesliga that I have with Real Madrid in La Liga. It's just like, all right, what are you going to do in Champions League?
Do it in Champions League.
You do it. You guys win too much.
This is why we need the Super League. Anyway, what's next? Oh, that's it. We're done.
That's the final one. Yeah. All right. Now that happened, the reaction's in the book. Thank you, Carter. All right. Let's wrap it up there as well. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, Election Day. Go vote in all your places where you got to vote. You see the shirt I'm wearing. You see who I'm supporting.
If you live in Alaska and you don't know who to vote for, just write in Elizabeth Eddy. Let's get her out of L.A. Get her out of the league. Let's get her.
I'm sure they'll welcome. Those cold people will welcome her very much. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday with a very, very special episode. And we have a huge guest coming into the studio. So make sure you tune in, lock in. Again, especially if you are an NWSL fan, enjoy that. And a U.S. Women's National Team fan.
That's right.
So make sure you tune in for that. You know what? I completely forgot. We forgot to use the new button on the soundboard.
So that sucked.
The reviews of the show are in. That was the Chicago Fire radio call that got, it was on the hot mic. Mm-hmm. And they got and they were, you know, they were.
Way to explain the board.
They were just keeping it. They were just keeping it real.
What's this?
I mean, but that needs some context. We've never hit that button before.
Nah, but it would have been cool to surprise them.
Anyway, all right, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday with a big episode. So make sure you come back on Thursday. See you then. Peace.
Love you guys.